This show is furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, I am here joined by my wonderful co-host, Lauren Savant, to be the managing partners, I put an S on that, of your life.
I'm a partner now.
You are a partner.
Wow. You're what a promotion.
Not of the law firm. I can't give you that.
That's
but
too bad.
Of Gervie's Law, you can definitely be a partner because I
fabulous.
Need all the help I can get. And I know, I don't know if you noticed, but when I was driving into studio today, and we are live, there was a lot of cars on the road.
Yeah, there were. Traffic's back.
I know, traffic's back. And, you know, there's good news and bad news to that.
Go on.
Well, the good news is there's more people listening to us because we're in drive time.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And people are listening. The bad news is it takes forever to get here.
Right.
To the studio.
You're right, though. More people, more ears.
Yeah,
out there.
More ears. So this is kind of exciting. I don't know about for you, but for
very.
Me it is.
I'm nervous.
We've never met each other.
We've never met in person.
And we've done, what, 3 or 4 shows together?
That's right. We've had an online relationship.
We have had an online relationship. And that sense of humor from Lauren Savant can be found on her tweeting, because I always like to look at your tweet. Cause
I've been so lazy on Twitter lately. I have not
But you
been
talked
tweeting.
About Bitcoin or something today
oh,
or
yeah, maybe
yesterday.
Maybe I did. Maybe I did.
What
yeah.
did you say about that?
It was just, it was, you know, a fire sale. It was plummeting. So I said I was going to go shopping, buy some Bit.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Did you encourage others as well to buy some Bit?
I've taken on a mission to encourage other women specifically to get into crypto, because all my girlfriends are like, oh, I don't understand it. And my husband has a trading account, but I don't get it. And so I've taken it upon myself to kind of explain it to them and get them involved and get them their own accounts, because I think it's really important. And it's easy to say, well, I just don't understand it, so I'm not going to get involved. But if I can understand it, and I am no mathematician, I'm no finance nerd, then anyone can.
That's amazing. I think you should, you know, start something maybe online. How can people who are listening, women specifically,
yeah,
because forget about the men, they're, you know, don't worry about them.
Yeah, men, you have your own. Yeah, you have your own support system that'll help
go
you
watch
show
the
you
NBA
how to do
playoffs
it.
Or the NHL playoffs.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Women, get with Lauren so you can learn how you can invest
yes,
in Bitcoin.
I think that it's important.
Do you want to give out your cell number?
No, I don't want to do that.
No.
But yeah, if you follow me online, I put on some resources sometimes, or I have some videos out there that
so
explains
how do they
how
follow you
involved.
Online?
Just Google me. I mean, it's pretty easy.
Sivan.
Sivan. Lauren Savant. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. You'll see, very talented. She's been on so many shows, and it's an honor to have you here on Gervie's Law.
It's an honor to
I
be
mean,
here,
I mean, I'm certainly
Alan.
Not Dr. Drew, but, you know, whatever.
These old
sloppy,
news.
Sloppy seconds.
Just kidding.
And Beyond TV, I know you've worked with them, and I was fortunate enough to be on Beyond TV.
Yes.
Tell us about Beyond
In
TV.
In fact, I was just talking to my producer about it the other day. She's like, I know Alan. He came on. Beyond TV is just, you know, one of those, you know, content companies that have kind of cropped up in recent years because broadcast news is dying, and they do a variety of different things. They have a bunch of different content creators. I'm one of them. And they put out content on multiple platforms, you know, on YouTube, on Amazon, on Roku. They
yeah.
also broadcast it on a local station here in LA, KDOC. And I really believe it's the future of this kind of television, because no one watches television like they used to. I mean, that's if they're watching it at all, because
that's true.
No one, you know, under 40 even has cable anymore, as far as I can tell.
Well, we don't know that, but I'm sure there's some. You know, as an attorney,
well,
I have to point that out.
Of course. Yeah, I don't want to.
You can't be definitive. When I prepare my clients for
deposition?
When I prepare them for depositions, I say never
know.
Say never and never say always. Because the time that you do something
so
that you said never, they'll find you doing it.
I don't recall.
But that's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes you look pretty stupid. So the fact of the matter is that you did not interview me when I was on Beyond TV.
No.
And it's really disappointing. I'm going to give you an opportunity later.
Oh, fabulous.
Because I think what we need to do, one of our guests canceled. We have to let it out of the bag. I know everyone tuned in.
It's their loss. Let's face it.
It was Rachel Adams. She's the cellmate of Casey Anthony. And she was going to talk a little bit about the secrets from Casey Anthony, of course, who was accused of killing her daughter. And she has a cold. Convicted. Do people still get colds these days?
First of all, she has a cold, but it's over a phone, the interview. It's not like she has to come in.
Well, yeah, what's up with that? Just cough into the telephone.
Yeah, you probably just have a sexy, husky voice now.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure the phone isn't going to get sick. So
listen, people are calling out for a cold now. I mean, are we back there now?
Well, you know, be careful because don't forget what I said. She was Casey Anthony's cellmate. I don't know what she was in for, but
excellent point.
Don't diss her.
Spoken like a true lawyer.
I'm sure she's very sick.
Excellent point.
We're going to take the opportunity to do a rapid round and ask some questions.
Okay,
in fact, later on the show, we're going to do it later on the show, but you want to do it right now. I'll give you a couple quick ones. I'll give you three quick ones before we get to Lena Bloom.
So I just have to rapid fire first answer that comes to mind.
You can do whatever you want. I don't tell you what to do. Some attorneys do, but, you know, you be honest. Take the oath to testify under penalty of perjury.
Okay.
You do what you want. You are an adult.
Mm.
All right, you ready?
Okay.
Who do you admire most?
It's tough. Who do I admire most?
You don't recall?
I have so many women that I admire.
Only women?
There was like 5 women right now that are at the top of the list. But no, there's not only women. There's plenty of men, too.
So if you were the mayor of Chicago, would you only interview women?
No, of course not.
Oh.
No,
how
that's
about
a ridiculous
only people
rule.
Of color?
No, of course not.
Okay.
Of course
all right.
Not.
Sorry about that. No, it's just a little topical thing. Go ahead. I bought you some time, as I often do.
Practice. One of the women that I admire most, you know of, you know her very well,
really?
Is Jillian Barbary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was one of my, you know, when I first got into broadcast news, I would see her and I didn't know you could be on TV like that. Like, just be yourself.
Yeah.
And wear whatever you wanted and say whatever you thought. And I thought, how cool is that? That she didn't have to have, like, that real estate look like we all did.
If you ever listen to her podcast.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's out of control, honest.
She says whatever she thinks.
Whatever she thinks.
And so she changed broadcast news for so many of us. But then also to just see what she's been through and how she's done it with so much courage.
All right, this is the rapid round. You're going
sorry,
on too
sorry,
long.
Sorry, sorry, it's too long.
Jillian, of course, is hosted the show with me, and we have a great time together. She says what's on her mind, and I can see how she can be an inspiration to a lot of people. Next question.
Okay,
I don't want to spend too much
sorry,
time. Describe yourself in 3 words.
Hostile, short, hungry.
Well, wait a second here. You're hungry?
I'm always hungry.
Daryl, can you get her some food?
I mean,
if
it's
you're
in bad
not,
taste to eat on a radio show, but I'm always thinking about my next meal.
Really?
You're not?
No. Oh. No, I'm not into it. No.
You're not into food?
No.
Interesting.
No, I'm not.
I wish I had
no,
some.
No, I would never describe myself. So hostile, that I think is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really good. Okay, I'm not going to belabor it. Last one before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Who annoys you the most?
Jillian
Barbary?
No, I got to say Dr. Fauci at this point. I'm going to have to go back to... I loved him. I hated him. He's just annoying now. It's like we've had enough. I would like him to pipe down.
The reason I'm laughing is because when Carrie Kasem was asked that same question...
Yeah.
No, actually, it was the what celebrity annoys her the most. She said Dr. Fauci.
I'm not even giving him that much credit.
Yes, he of course, is annoying and hopefully...
He's a lot.
But, you know, you would just like to know that, like, the top doc in the country was, like, younger than 80 years old. It would just really be nice to know that there was, like, some hot shot.
He always sounds hoarse to me.
Well.
Like, at any moment, you know, he could have a coughing fit. And that's not a great feeling.
No.
Security.
Yeah, and he says the obvious, which, you know, you want your doctors to say words that you've never heard of or to sound scientific.
Sure. Or to give you a real answer, not a wishy-washy, well, we'll have to see.
That's good. You do a good Fauci.
That's my Fauci.
Can you go on, like, Saturday Night Live and do Fauci?
I don't think that. I think there's a long line of people that can do it.
Let me ask you a question. Should we be wearing masks, Dr. Fauci?
Well, it's tough to say. If you're vaccinated, there's a chance you can still spread the virus even when wearing a mask, even when being safe outside. So, you know, it's all that those kind of answers drive me up a wall.
You're really good at that New York little accent
well,
there.
Well, that's because I'm from New York.
It comes naturally,
it
huh?
Does.
Where in New York?
All of my relatives
We're
sound like Dr. Fauci.
Other.
I know. When do I get to ask questions? Does that come later in the show?
No, I just let you do what you want.
You're from the East Coast as well.
I'm not. I'm Canadian. If you listen
oh,
to
right,
the
yes.
show.
No,
if you've
yeah,
ever listened
that.
To the
I
show.
Do know that.
And
I
by
do
the
know
way,
that.
The last three shows we did together,
you're
I was
literally in
Canada.
Your homeland.
I was literally
yeah.
in Canada. So I'm glad to hear you were listening.
Something else about me. No short-term memory.
It sounds like it. Sounds like it. Okay, I'll give you one quick question before we have to go to a break.
Go on.
No, I'm...
Oh, for you.
You asked... Before
oh,
the show, you said you didn't want to talk about yourself.
Okay.
And then you're like, come on, give me another question. I don't want to ask anything about you.
Okay.
I hate to put you on the spot.
What are the qualities that you're looking for in a man? This is your questionnaire, by the way.
Well, I didn't give you that questionnaire. I'm looking for a guy who really loves sports. I mean, I'm really into sports.
Makes sense.
I like to play catch with my kids. And if we had a guy around, in fact, I'm planning a play date for my daughter with two guys. I mean, not for her. They both have daughters, and I went,
and they're
totally into baseball.
Wonderful.
And I said, how about if the three of us, you know, do this thing? They both have daughters the same age as mine, 7 years old.
Great.
And we'll sit by the pool, have a couple beers, talk sports, maybe barbecue. So that's what I'm looking for
great.
In a guy.
That's perfect. Are
How's
you going to get your daughter into sports?
She's already into sports.
Oh,
if you followed me on my Facebook, if you were Facebook friends with me, you would have seen that I posted a picture today of her softball, playing softball. She's a 7-year-old pitcher, youngest kid on the team.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
And she does the whole windmill thing and everything.
Wow.
So, you know, you've got to do your research.
I am rarely on Facebook these days, but I will go just to check on you.
I hope
see
so.
See what's up.
I hope so.
See
All right. So we're going to take a break. After the break, folks, you're not going to want to miss this. Lena Bloom is an amazing story. Do we want to tease? You got a tease for Lena Bloom?
I mean, I'm riveted.
But
you're doing great.
Tease.
Tease what's
coming
up?
Transgender woman of color
oh.
in Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Now she has a movie coming up.
Ooh, and a movie. What a tease. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC. She's got
one of the things I didn't ask you, Lauren, are you a singer?
No.
Can you sing this song?
No, badly.
It's coming up, the glamorous touch.
No, no one wants to hear that.
Oh, glamorous life.
You don't even know the song. You wouldn't even know if I was singing the right lyrics.
It's before my time. I don't know any of the words, but I just sing, it's a glamorous touch, yeah.
So you're a singer.
I'm not a singer, but I am an actor. I act like I'm singing. not real good at all. So we learned a few things about Lauren Savon. She's a hostile person who's always hungry. Very nice. I'm glad to have you as my co-host.
I know. Don't I sound like a winner as far as
I spend my whole life with hostile lawyers,
right.
And I come to do my show on Thursdays nights, and here we have.
This is what you attract.
You sure you don't have a law degree, Lauren?
I feel like I do.
Yeah.
You know. I talk to people like I do.
Well, you said deposition. That was pretty cool.
Do people not know what a deposition is? I didn't think that's legal jargon necessarily.
Well, you never know. Some people don't know. They get confused.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, we've got to get away from the law. This is a legal show, but
yes.
Let's get to most important things. For someone who is a trendsetter, who's breaking down barriers, who's following in the footsteps of Christie Brinkley and Kate Upton, we have to talk, and it's such an honor today to talk about Lena Bloom, who is an American actor,
yep,
model,
yep,
definitely a model,
activist.
Dancer, activist, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
She is going to be in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model episode. What do you call it? A swimsuit?
Edition?
Edition. It's like the new edition. I used to collect them all the time. I had
the swimsuit edition.
So many of them under my mattress.
Every guy I knew had a collection of them.
Yeah, I got a lot of them.
Who was your favorite cover girl?
Probably, what's her name? Cheryl Teagues.
Oh, Cheryl
Going
Teagues.
Going way back.
Oh, Kathy Ireland was mine.
Oh, Kathy Ireland.
I liked her.
Yeah, I met her once.
Did you?
Yeah, it was disappointing. So Lena came out as transgender in 2014 after appearing in Candy magazine. She's been in so many magazines since she was, she appeared in Vogue India in October 2017. In 2018, she was cast as one of the faces of H&M Ex Machina.
Huge.
H&M's campaign. She was displayed in thousands of stores around the world. In Glamour, October 2018, she was named one of the six women who are shaping the future of fashion. She was known as the Polynesian princess as a well-respected ballroom culture. And you don't know anything about ballroom culture,
do you? You were just schooling me on it.
Yeah, I was schooling you. I'm very familiar with it. And, you know, she was great in the face competition. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But importantly, Port Authority, a feature film, getting 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. Because I don't go to a movie unless it's like over 75%.
Why would you?
No. So Port Authority, 83%, some amazing reviews, affectionately intimate, the mood in Transfixing Holly from the Hollywood Reporter, deeply romantic, gritty from the IndieWire, great stuff. I think people will be able to see it in July, even though it's been around a little bit, hopefully in theaters, because we'd like to get back into theaters. It's the first time that a trans woman of color was in a leading role in a movie which featured at a major film festival, the Cannes Film Festival. Let's talk to Layla Boom. It's enough of me talking about her.
I know. I want to talk to her already.
Can you welcome her to Gervie's Law?
Welcome to Gervie's Law, Lena. It's great to have you on the show.
Hi, guys. How's it going? Good evening. I'm in New York City. I just like her. It's just amazing words that you were saying. I'm just like taken back, and like it was just so beautiful. I felt so like, oh, the tenacity in your voice made me really, really happy. Hi, guys.
You know what makes me happy, Lena? We have so many, we've been doing this for so long, we have so many people on. The energy that you bring and the passion just in saying hello, it warms my heart. That's why you are changing the world, because of your energy and passion.
And it's 10:30 at night for her.
Exactly. Like, we up here. I love it. Like, let's just be like vampires. Like, love the light.
Are you a night person, Lena?
I'm an all-day type of person. I just go with the vibe and just move with love, and just everything goes up and goes down, and we just all just live every day. Like, that's what I do.
You know, I know your dad has been a superhero to you, and he's accepted you, and he's been so supportive. What have you learned from him to be who you are? You talk about being an all-day person. You have all this energy. You've, broken these barriers.
You're obviously a workaholic.
A workaholic. What did you get from your dad to be able to be who you are today?
Honestly, his like resilience to just not give up and just to stand firm and to believe that there's a better, better things to think about, better ways to express things, better ways to just go out in the world and just like stand firm and stand tall and just be proud and be like really in your truth. I think that's something that he's always told me, to just keep your head held high and anyone that comes in contact with you, honor them and have them honor you. And just, I don't know, it's just this royal vibe that my dad always walked around and just always wanted to be about, just truth and like light and like energy and just like patience. And I don't know, it's just, it allowed me to just like be, I don't know, I'm his like protege. So I just kind of like, I don't know, I just did my thing, and we just go out in the world and we fight for what we believe in, and we support people, and we just leave something to be remembered.
I mean, you've become, you know, such an inspiration for so many people, and especially because you check almost every box. I mean, every single issue we are speaking about today, you're a part of. Your background is Black, Filipino. You're trans, and you're very vocal about it and active about it. And, you know, at a time when we're seeing hate crimes against the Black community, hate crimes against the Asian community, and you know, the trans community as well, is it feel like a lot of pressure for you to represent so many different groups in one person?
Honestly, you know, I got to take every single day, you know, one day at a time. I got to really understand how to keep my both of my feet on the ground. You know, like, I am constantly in this turmoil of, like, what to say, how to say it, and, like, trying to stay true to who I am and also having boundaries with that. I think it's just a combination of just, like, being very conscious. Like, I feel like I'm always alert and conscious of, like, trauma, and I feel trauma and I see trauma. So I'm trying to constantly, like, in my mind, be this earthly being that's just, like, planting seeds and just like feeling the earth and talking to people and just getting out here trying to find like energy in the world and spread that and just be a gift that keeps giving. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's all you I know, can do. Like, everyone's blessed with certain things. They just got to do everything that you're born with. You just got to make the most out of it and give life to it. Breathe life into yourself and your soul and inspire people to do the same thing. Like, that's all it is. It's just standing your truth and be powerful. Like,
you know,
I love that,
Lena, and I love it too. But when you talk about it, it just sounds easier than the plight has been for you. Being homeless on trains, in streets, struggling against hate and prejudice. How were you able to overcome that? You know, it's easy to talk about the passion you have now because, let's face it, you've made it. But back then, how were you able to overcome homelessness and overcome people having prejudice against you every day of your life?
Yeah, the first time I was homeless was when I was a child. My dad was in the military. We lived in Oceanside, California, in San Diego, and he just got out the service, and we were just like homeless, and we were in a really rough place. And I remember like sleeping on the beach, and my dad just like, I don't know, he was just like, oh, he was very young. He was like 26 years old. He was like taking care of two kids, like, and we were like homeless. I think we got a bus ticket to a Greyhound ticket from my auntie, who was a famous dancer. And she just got us a ticket. She was like, come back home. And like, the family just took care of us. And then later in my life, moving to New York City, I dealt with homelessness again. But like, it's just honestly the communities that are around me and like these marginalized communities, like in Chicago, I was raised on the South Side. Like, if anyone that knows like culturally about America, they know that Chicago has this huge high rate of violence and death and murder. So I was raised around that. So being conscious in that, moving to New York City, who also has another high rate of just so much like black and brown bodies cooped up in the city, trying to figure out where they're going to go, where they're going to be, who they're going to be around, how they're going to survive. It was just my conscience. It was the music I was listening to. It was the books I was reading. It was the dictionaries that were missing these words and these connotations and these real vibrations of my people. So it's just my nature that I was raised around being a person of culture and like black and brown like culture, like every day, like learning. My dad was the first person he told me about was Malcolm X. So I was instinctively from a child born around radicals and listening to like old record tapes of like Malcolm X talking about radicalism and, you know, and wanting the world to be a better place and accepting everyone. Like, it's just, it's in my blood. It's everything. It feeds me, you know, like it's just, it's part of like my fight to just want the world to be a better place.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty heavy stuff. You know, I want to talk after the break. We only have a minute before the break, but we're going to talk about the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. And MJ Day, who is the editor of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, said that you walked on the set and you owned it. How did you have that kind of confidence coming from that background to walk on a set and own it when we're talking about Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition?
Honestly, I was thinking about every single, like, sports person, like Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, like, Serena Williams, like, Naomi Osaka, like, Kobe. Like, I was thinking about them, like, showing up. Like, this is Sports Illustrated Magazine. This is where every single major athlete, gladiator on today's earth has grace or been in columns and had conversations about just the championships of like our times, like our culture, like, and like, here I am, like, showing up on this beach. Like, this is my arena. Like, I'm ready to use these elements, the sand, the water, the air, the wind, the people, the energy to, like, create this moment for history. Like, that's how I felt. Like, I felt like I was getting my trophy, like, getting my championship. Like, I was in that. I was in there doing that, like, you know, shooting hoops and everything.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
You did it. I can't wait to see it. It's out in July.
And it comes out in July, Lena?
Yeah, it comes out in July. It's going to be, like, huge, huge. Like, it's so huge. Many amazing things that...
Will you still talk to us? Will you still talk to us after you're big and famous when it comes out
yes,
in July?
Yes, I would. I would love to. Let's talk.
Okay. We got to take a break. We're going to talk a little bit about Port Authority after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
All right, I can see you may not be a singer, but you're definitely a dancer. You could be in the ballroom culture the
I'm
way
no
you walk.
I'm no Lena Bloom. No? No way.
No?
I've seen those moves.
You got some good moves here.
Thank you.
That was a great ad for those lawyers. What were they called? The RGW Law Firm? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn? They sound like some...
No, they sound like they're...
Darn good. Yeah, some real advocates, hostile people.
That's who I want representing.
You want hostility.
Yeah.
You're not going to sit back and let anyone walk over you.
No.
And someone who has not let anyone walk over them... In her lifetime, Lena Bloom is an inspiration. We were talking about the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, which is coming out in July. Don't miss it. You'll see Lena there. And we want to talk a little bit about Port Authority.
Her new movie.
Yeah, which was backed by executive producer Martin Scorsese. So anytime you have Martin Scorsese attached to a film, it's got to be good. It's got great reviews. And it's a story, it's a love story that begins in, at the New York City Transportation Center, dives into the Kiki ballroom scene.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know a whole lot about the ballroom
I know a
culture.
Lot about the Port Authority, and never have I... seen a love story take place there, I'll tell you that. So the fact that, I mean, you've already hooked me with
especially of an unsuspecting straight man falling in love with a trans woman.
Mm-hmm.
Lena, tell us about this film and how you got involved and what people can expect from the ballroom scene.
I got involved with the ballroom scene when I was around 15 years old. Growing up in Chicago, trans people, or especially queer people alone, were not safe joining other sports like football teams or basketball teams, soccer teams, if they wasn't out the closet or if they just looked or had mannerisms that were different. It wasn't a safe place for them to like enjoy a extracurricular activity. So for people of color that are queer, we found refuge in the ballroom community. Ballroom community has been around since like the 60s, you know, and it's pretty prominent in America right now and around the world. And it started in New York City. So ballroom was something where if I had nowhere to go, a safe place after school was ballroom, and the people that are around ballroom gave me a place where I could have something to do and not be killed or murdered or bullied or hurt or by anyone. You know, it was a place where a lot of people, especially homeless queer youth, can go to just be accepted because their families don't accept them. So it's something that just helped me to have a home and original platform to like develop my skill as an artist. And Port Authority exemplifies that, and you see it in the film about the family and the culture, how we all live together and
yeah.
take care of each other and help each other compete for these prizes to just get that much closer to our dreams and are allowing us to be tapped in our imagination that the world tells us to suppress.
You know,
and it's a love story of a man that falls in love with a trans woman from that community.
Right. And, you know, the story... it takes place in New York City, but it just judging by the trailer, it just shows such a kind of a, you know, a gritty New York City. I grew up in New York, but of course, as Alan mentioned, I didn't even know about the ballroom scene. And, my experience with the Port Authority was always in passing, in transit, and it was always a place that I wanted to get out of as soon as possible. And so it really was interesting to me to see a love story take place there and also this underground scene that me, a native New Yorker, would never know about. That really appealed to me. Is that one of the reasons it appealed to you as well? Because you lived it.
Yeah, when I moved to New York City when I was 17, I dropped out of my high school because they didn't allow me to transition. And I moved to New York City, and that's where I first started dealing with homelessness. And when I moved here, I arrived at Port Authority, and it was something that was very real to me and like other queer people who live in that area. 14th Street and 42nd Street is a notorious area for queer and black and brown bodies to just migrate because they just have nowhere else to go. And a lot of health clinics are in those areas for them to have access to. So Port Authority is the place where a lot of queer people just hang out at. And it's, they come in and they have nowhere else to go. So that's where I arrived also. And it's a story that's very real. Also just the homeless people in America and people in New York City, that's a place where a lot of homeless people go and recharge their batteries to talk to their families. So it's a place where those two characters in the film found love and saw each other and just had a New York moment and a New York minute.
When you say that, it's just incredible because I'm just thinking the acting is really great. Fionn Whitehead, who plays opposite of you, mm-hmm. and it's I guess it's Danielle Lesovitz, who it's her first feature film. How she was able to get out of you, it's so real. I was watching it and I'm thinking, wow, this is real. I'm living something that, is kind of foreign to me, but I'm really into it.
Yeah, because it's very human. I think it's a dose of like reality that's in your face that is like very human to your energy of like being empathic to other people's stories and people's appearances in those stories. I mean, this is appealing because it's the physicality of my nature and my nature as an artist to portray something so beautiful that is real to my lifestyle, which is a part of who I am, to bring this character alive. So I think it's just we acknowledge those things because we're knowing that the world is changing and we're allowed to think differently. So it's just it's happening. When we get off this amazing conversation, we go and we pick up our phone and there's people calling out for like to be seen and to be heard because they've been forgotten or they're not being treated right. So it's the movie. I feel like every decade has like a few movies that really represent the time. And I feel like this movie, like Pose, like Legendary, like other movies that are very on like being progressive and like making sure that we're having these conversations. I think this is movie represents this time in that way.
There's a report out, I think today or yesterday, about trans youth in particular and the high, high rate of suicide. I think it's something like 42% of trans youth have thought about suicide at some point, which is a huge number. Making a movie like this, I always look to the younger generation that would see a movie like this and it normalizes everything. They don't think of it as different or strange or something that they don't understand. It's kind of just the generation they grew up in, which I hope this movie has the same power because, right. To me and Alan, maybe it's a world that we would never know about.
But there's so many people, Lauren, that we feel for that maybe have be going through the same things that Lena has gone through. And to have this kind of inspiration and to have people identify with what's going on, even if you don't identify, you still have some kind of feelings for people. And
or
that's
understanding.
Important. Understanding.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's really what, what this movie, I think, will accomplish. Now, when does it come out, Lena, to the masses?
It comes out in theaters May 28th and on video demand June 1st.
Oh, wow.
And if anyone wants to check out the trailer, they can go to the website, right?
Yeah, you could just type it into YouTube or Google and just say Port Authority movie and you'll get all the trailers that everyone's like posting.
Wow. And the Sports Illustrated edition comes out what day? July.
I'm not really 100% sure on the date.
Sometime in July.
It's the July edition. Yeah, the July issue.
July.
I mean, yeah, can you imagine what's in store for you coming up in the next couple of months?
I mean, it's
going to
be a crazy summer for you, girl.
And what's most...
I have another movie that's going to the Tribeca Film Festival.
What? Oh, yeah? What's that one?
Yeah, it's called Asking For It. We got into the festival like last month, and it's an A-list cast. We have Kiersey Clemons. We have Alexandria Stripp, who plays Storm, the new X-Men trilogies and stuff. We have Gabrielle Sidibe. We have Ezra Miller, Vanessa Hutchinson, like Lisa Yarrow. It's about fucking some shit up and taking no names and really getting out here and being women and being this girl gang. Like, it's, I don't know, check it out. It's on Tribeca. Just go to the website. It's called Asking For It. It's also in my link on my Instagram. So yeah, you guys should definitely check out. It's a lot of stuff happening.
We will
Land
check
Bloom,
it out.
Thank you so much.
And the fact you've heard from Dwayne Wade, it's just everything's happening for you. Dwayne Wade, one of my heroes. Lena, we want to thank you for being with us on Gervie's Law. And all the best.
And keep it up.
These next couple months.
Thank you guys so
you
much
go for it, girl.
Have this conversation. I appreciate this so much, you guys. Like, really, really, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We do as well.
You guys have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks very much. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back. Oh, wow. We're talking dance. Lauren Savon knows how to dance. You have a Dwayne Wade story.
No, I have a Dwayne Wade dad story. It's not the same.
You told it to me during the break, and it's hilarious. I love that story.
Thank you. Dwayne Wade's dad hit on me, and he introduced himself as Dwayne Wade's dad, and he put his number in my phone as Dwayne Wade's dad.
That is so funny.
He has 10 children.
He took your phone and actually said, I want to check out this phone.
He goes,
let me see your phone.
Your phone looks new. And he called himself on my phone. That's how he got my number. I've not seen that one before, but now I'm keen to it.
I've never tried that.
See?
I never even thought of it. I'm really kind of...
The Wades are full of tricks.
I guess. Well, you know, Dwayne Wade has been very supportive of his trans...
Yes, he absolutely has.
So, you know, you give him credit for that. His father apparently is very supportive of hitting on. No,
well, he was very friendly.
I mean, he's got to be twice your age.
Yes. I believe he was.
Yeah, there's a lot of dad stories. You know, I had one. My friend Elizabeth Berkeley, I was with her father, and we were at a car race, and Elizabeth had just been on David Letterman's show, and David Letterman, we were in the pits with David Letterman, and her father was talking to David Letterman, and he said, oh, yeah, Elizabeth Berkeley was just on your show. And he says, that's my daughter. And Letterman looks at him and says, congratulations, and walks away. What a jerk. I would say some other words, but it would get bleeped.
You know,
people are reaching out, and Letterman just walks away. And then, you know, he grew this big fuzzy beard and became some
meth Santa
wild animal from the jungle. All right. You know, I promised everyone I'd get to know Lauren a little bit better.
I think we have.
No, we haven't. Oh. All we know is Dwayne Wade's dad hit on you. You've had people hit on you.
You've had people hit on you too, I'm sure.
But not like the people who've hit on you. Harvey Weinstein has never hit on me.
You're lucky. You're lucky. You dodged a bullet there.
He never played with himself in front of me.
Oh.
What about you?
That I cannot say the same, unfortunately.
You can't say the same.
Luckily,
wow.
He's in jail right now.
Yeah. Well,
apparently,
you know,
in
you've
bad
been
health.
Very strong about that, and you know, and I think you've been very honest, and I admire you for that,
for being able to speak out
and help other people who also have unfortunately been abused by a lot of scumbag men, which are most of the men scumbags.
Do I believe most men are scumbags? No.
No.
No, I absolutely don't. I love men.
You do love men.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
You ready?
It's
the rapid round, ladies and gentlemen. Have some fun with it. What is the one of the things that you would put on your bucket list?
My bucket list. I don't have anything.
I'm stumping you.
I know.
Come on, bucket list.
I mean, I feel like it's too early for a bucket list, but okay.
It's never too early.
I would like to
Go on a date with Dwayne Wade's dad.
It's on his bucket list, I think. It's not on mine. I don't know. I would like to maybe like run a marathon. I always thought that
that's
before
bad.
I died, I would run a marathon. But now I've gotten
Why
over that.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know.
It's a lot of work.
I mean, it was a stupid goal.
Why don't you like go and hang out in Tahiti or something? That's a lot easier.
That might be on my bucket list now to hang out in Tahiti. You?
Okay,
do you have a bucket list?
I don't. No, no.
No bucket list.
Anyone who would ask. I've done everything on my bucket list. Now it's just to enjoy life. That's my bucket list.
Oh.
Now, here's the next question.
Okay.
Use one word to describe your computer ability.
Intermittent.
If you could choose your nickname, what would it be?
Choose your nickname. Cutie.
What fortune would you want to get from a fortune cookie?
You are about to host the greatest radio show of your life tonight.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're doing the Hannity show?
Very funny.
What product would you refuse to promote?
I wouldn't refuse anything. Money's money.
Oh, no.
What would you refuse?
Absolutely smoking. Cannot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, I love smoking. I mean, I don't smoke, but I really miss it. I really do. I would love to do an ad where I could smoke.
We're really feeling each other out here, and you're a hostile person who loves smoking.
I do.
And I'm
I like, don't currently smoke, but I do love it.
Oh, wow. I hate it. What TV sitcom family would you be a member of?
The Cosby Show.
You look like
Minus it. Dad, I guess.
Wait a second. Bill Cosby?
I loved The Cosby Show growing up. I wish I was a member of The Cosby Show.
You know, I feel very confident that if Bill Cosby ever met you,
I would take a nap.
The same fate as when you met Harvey Weinstein. I hate to say it, but
he would make me a cocktail and I won't remember.
Boy.
I mean, maybe I have some kind of magnetism. I don't know. What sitcom family would you want to be a part of?
The Brady Bunch. I said it last week.
Oh, really? The Brady Bunch?
Yeah, no, I'm just into the Bradys. Yeah, I would like to.
What's appealing about them?
Values. I want everyone in the world to be like that sucky, nerdy, value-laden family who, you know, you do everything right and there's always a lesson in everything. That's my life. Hmm. Just lessons. If I could have my dream job, I would be a motivational speaker on promoting values.
Hmm.
No, I don't motivate anyone.
I'm motivated.
What store do you shop at the most?
7-Eleven, probably. Exxon? I don't know.
Wait a second. You're really...
I'm a quick snack kind of gal.
You're turning guys on, I'm telling you.
Oh, really? Is that a turn on? Cheap date, I guess. That's what they hear.
7-Eleven, a hostile girl likes to eat at 7-Eleven. All right.
I will give you all a PSA. Do not try the sushi. You get what you pay for.
I didn't know they had that there.
You'd
be
surprised.
Do you eat those things that rotate all day?
Oh, the taquitos?
I have no idea what they're called.
Yeah, in a fit of desperateness, I'll have a taquito.
What is the first thing you notice about the opposite sex?
I guess their height, because I'm short, so I can usually figure out how tall someone is the second I meet them.
That's an amazing talent.
Is it?
Yeah, I've never met anyone who could figure out how tall someone is by just looking at them.
Oh.
Really something. Because usually I look at people and I think they're really short and then I find out like they're 6'8". So I... if your plane was about to... This is morbid. If your plane was about to crash, who would you want sitting next to you?
Someone on Ambien who wouldn't make it worse.
I would say for me, it was like Spider-Man who could like spin a web and get me out of there.
Oh, I didn't know we could go non-real people. I mean, it's a made-up character, Spider-Man, unless you know something I don't.
What city in America should not be included on a map? That is the stupidest question.
Well,
I've ever heard.
You know, you're gonna offend someone no matter what you say.
Well, do it for someone who's not listening. Yeah, of course.
Go on. Give me one.
It's simple. Chicago.
What? Why? Have you not had deep dish pizza?
I have. I've lived in Chicago.
Okay.
I lived at Division and State. So.
Oh, so you know, but you hate it.
I hate the Bears.
Oh, I see. So we're going sports now. Okay.
Yeah. So Chicago should not be on a map.
I don't know why. I don't know why they decided to build a city there. It's so cold and brutal.
It's warmer than where I grew up in Winnipeg.
Oh, right. Okay.
What is your favorite summer activity?
My favorite summer? Sweating? No.
Sweating. So you're a hostile person who goes to 7-Eleven, eats all the time, and sweats.
No, I hate sweating. I actually hate sweating. It's the worst.
If this was a dating show, people would just be 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222 to go out with Lauren.
She's not a good time. What is your favorite summer activity?
That's easy.
Such a weird question.
Rollerblading on the beach.
Are you a rollerblader?
What do I look like?
Wow. Come on, seriously? Impressive.
Seriously?
Didn't see that one coming. Yeah. Curveball.
I grew up playing hockey my whole life.
Of course, you're
five
Canadian.
Years old.
What a stupid.
There's not enough ice rinks around here, so I have to rollerblade. You know, it's been.
We should go blading together.
I would love to. You blade?
I roller skate.
Oh, man.
I gave up my blades for roller skates.
On the
I went
beach?
Old school.
Wayman's going to get mad if we don't sign off. Well, our first time together, we've gotten to know each other pretty well.
No, it's been very one-sided.
I'm impressed.
Alan.
I'm impressed.
Next round,
next
we'll have
round.
To do you.
We're looking forward. Maybe our guest won't cancel next week.
You'd be lucky to be on this show. Let's face it.
Absolutely. The greatest show in the world. It's Gervie's Law, and she's Lauren Savant. I'm Alan Gervie. We want to thank everyone for listening.
Let's thank them.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much for listening.
Have you been drinking?
It's been a pleasure. No, I'm about to after all of these questions. It's been stressful.
Looking forward.
It's been a stressful hour.
You did great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You passed. We'll see you all next week right here on Gervie's Law.
This show is furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.